heard it coming.
Robert Erdman. Almost. I don't know why I started playing that rhythm one day, and I just recorded it. Okay, I like that. That's good. I didn't have to do anything better. That was close enough. Get us into the show. Speaking of getting into the show, welcome, Robert. He's in the chair across from me, and Captain Morris Gamble over there.
Mm-hmm.
So, we're going to get into the fishing report.
Sounds like a plan.
If you haven't heard, I spent several days traveling around in a... I actually bought a RV on the internet, flew to Fargo, North Dakota, picked it up, and drove it back.
And it made it.
The wife and I, and it made it. I'm not sure if it was a good witch, a bad witch, or a sandwich, but next week it goes into the... up here to Murdoch Tire and Auto, and we start... tearing into, you know, it's got 65,000 miles on it now after driving it back.
It's nothing on a Toyota.
And they say with those six-cylinder, the V6s, that the timing belt and the head gaskets go bad on them.
I knew about the timing belt. I haven't heard about the head gasket.
Well, the head gasket was the one thing they said. And they said, well, as long as you're going to replace the head gasket, might as well just get the timing belt.
Yeah, my 4Runner's still going. It's almost 400,000 miles on it, still running.
Yeah, I mean, I love those old Toyotas. That's what made them famous.
My Tundra's got 230,000 miles on it.
Yeah. My Tundra's only got 70-some, I think.
It's not even broken in yet.
Yeah. It only had 40 when I bought it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
My 511s have about 82 miles on them.
Yeah. So,
Robert, you don't need to be driving.
Okay. Anyway, so that's been fun. Lots of hurricanes and storms and winds and reason why everybody couldn't get out. But on the other hand, things are kind of looking up right now, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think everything's kind of going along pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. That tailwind or whatever brought down all that dry air. Now we actually got today calmed down.
Finally.
Yeah, that was... going up to the hospital to see my dad. My dad's back in the hospital. Heart valve replacement. But he's feeling okay. Things are getting better. Looks like he's going to be good. Last time they were saying, yeah, he did okay. And this time they come out going, well, he should be good for another 5 or 10 years. I'm going, that long, huh?
Wow. Are you sure?
You know, I love him, but I don't know why. That kind of shocked me. I was like, 10 years? Really? Okay, here we go, Dad. Another 10 years. All right. Hooray. I don't know why, but it just kind of, you know, I guess he's been in such bad health, I just wasn't thinking that long term.
Right.
I keep saying, you know, outside the bait shop, the only thing really keeping me here anymore is my parents, you know. So when he said 10 years, I was thinking, oh, really? Yeah, okay.
All right. Step back a little bit. Hmm.
Yeah, I'll be really old by that time. All right, anyway, Peace River Systems. Ton of tarpon up around Harbor Heights.
Yeah, I've been hearing about some tarpon up there from Harbor Heights up to just about the Navigator. And then the over by the Shell Creek Dam. Just because we've had a little less rain lately, it actually slowed down just a little tiny bit with the flow coming off of it, so the snook kind of moved back up to the actual dam itself. A lot of small guys, but they're definitely up there. Guys have been gator hunting up there, so we've been getting some miscellaneous reports of what they're seeing, not necessarily what they're catching.
Yeah, a lot of people gator hunting.
Yeah.
And the noise in the background is the air conditioner. The board, I don't think, is creating the noise like it was last week.
No.
But, or the other fan or something that's going on. But anyway, what do you want? It's a free show.
Right.
That's right.
Exactly.
Anything else on the Peace River?
No. Okay. It's been pretty quiet up there.
I-75?
There's been some black drum. There's been quite a few juvenile tarpon in the mornings. And then there has been a handful of redfish on the north end. And they've been mostly on the small size, but one guy got one that was, I think he said it was 30 and a half, something like that.
Nice.
But he caught several smaller ones in that 15 to 20 inch range.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. He said, believe it or not, for even with the little bit of layoff of the rain on those shallow spots, he said there's a couple spots where it's actually gotten, where he's got about 10 inches of visibility instead of 3 inches the way it's been.
It's been blacker, mate. You know, just black water.
Yeah.
41 Bridge, anybody?
41 Bridge has got some juvenile tarpon on it, a few bigger snook early in the mornings.
Some tackle-busting drum.
Yeah, a lot of black drum all along the pilings.
Along the riprap, too.
Yeah.
I saw them there.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Nice. Right up against the riprap.
Nice.
Easily accessed from shore.
On that new northern part of the park?
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice little park. Yep. Really pretty. Done a nice job with it.
And you know they're big ones when you can see them in that really dark water.
Yeah, yeah. I like when their tail's sticking out and you know they're in 3 feet of water. It's like, ooh, look at that.
Toss something that smells good in front of them and hang on.
Yeah. I caught a couple the other day on swim baits.
You know what my favorite bait for the black drum is? Johnson Sprite.
Yeah.
Okay, here's a question. I was asking one of the shows we were doing, I don't remember which show or when we were asking, ever caught one on top water?
I've never caught a black drum on top water. I've caught them on jerk baits and swim baits and
spoons,
springers, yep, jigs.
But I don't believe I've ever caught one on the top water.
I believe you could probably talk one of those into hitting the top water when you see them up shallow in that riprap. Probably like a crab or something, maybe a DOA crab or something like that. Gulf crab?
You know, I don't know. I've just never, I don't know why I never, but I just decided I was going to ask around and see if anybody's actually done it. I've never heard of it, but I don't know why it wouldn't be possible.
Yeah, I've never heard of it, but I could see it being possible.
I mean, their mouth is on the bottom like a redfish, so it'd be kind of funny watching them come up after it, because they'd have to get their whole big butt up out of water to go chase it. But then that's going to be really cool to watch one boil on a topwater.
Oh, my goodness.
That would be a sight to behold.
Right. Be a footprint.
Used to catch them in the Wickiwatchee River. That's where I learned how to catch them on the Sprite.
Yeah.
There'd be so many of them in there. And the Wickiwatchee River is really clear. And you can see them in there. And that's traditionally not black drum water, but, you know, you could see them laying down there like cordwood. And you drop the Sprite down off the bottom and just bump it. Just maybe a 4-inch flip with it, and one would smoke it. I mean, they would hit it every time, and he would just suck it in to where you could just barely see, you know, you barely see the spoon in his mouth.
It's kind of funny because how many of them, normal thing with a spoon is to throw it and let it wobble back, and most people reel it too fast, and it spins coming back in. But guys like you and my dad, they throw it out, let it hit the bottom, pop it up, and let it fall, and do that a couple of times before letting it wobble coming back in, and it's very, very effective.
It is.
It's really amazing. All right, Lashley Pier, anybody?
I've been some small snook there and a few small mangrove snapper. Overall, it's been a little quiet. It's been so blooming hot that people are not wanting to stand out there too much in that open.
Starts at 80 degrees at daylight.
Yeah.
Goes up.
I honestly tell you, I got out of my truck last night. You know, I got left the hospital and went home. And, man, that heat, I opened up the driver's door and that heat hit me. I said, it's hot this year.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was, because it usually doesn't. I don't notice it that much. But, man, last night I did.
Yeah, it was pretty warm.
All right, Bay Shore Pier?
Got no reports, honestly.
I haven't.
Port Charlotte Canals.
Lots of jacks starting to move through there in the last couple of days.
Got some small snook in there?
Yeah, a few. Hardly any behind the house, but been hearing of them over in the East Spring Lake, West Spring Lake, and the Countryman Waterway.
few juvenile tarpon in the lakes.
Yeah, a lot of juvenile tarpon popping up. And then there's also been quite a few gar coming down. There's been a lot of the water lettuce and not the hyacinth, but it looks kind of like the
cabbage.
Hyacinth.
Yeah, we call it freshwater cabbage.
Okay, there's been a lot of that floating down.
It has the really long, it has the really long roots on it. It's green and leafy, but it has longer roots than a water hyacinth does.
Right.
Yeah.
Remember years ago before they started all that stupid spraying? You know, when people actually worked to get rid of something, they go out there and they take that thing that looked like a combine with a sickle
yes.
on the bottom, and they would just cut it off, rake it up onto a barge, and haul it off. It was used for cattle food. Right now they spray everything. It kills all the fish. It kills everything. Because, of course, it's not poison, but as the plants die and there's no oxygen in the water, of course it kills the fish, but it's not poisoning them.
So put sediment all over the bottom and muck and...
Muck and sediment,
yeah.
And screws everything all up, and the fish die. They're not poisoned from the chemical, but they don't have any oxygen and they die. So, gee whiz, is that still not poison?
Mm-hmm.
But when you used to get those rafts, the water was a lot cleaner in the rivers then.
Oh, yeah.
And you get these monster rafts of stuff
system.
That would, and it would end up out in the Gulf where it would just die.
That's
and
right.
become part of the plankton food.
The manatees eat it.
Manatees love that stuff.
Everything ate it. You know,
and it's part of the food chain.
Freshwater shrimp were all in that stuff. And that freshwater shrimp is one of the building blocks of all of our freshwater ecosystem and our brackish ecosystem.
It's just amazing how they, okay, it's easier. Yeah, but easier doesn't make it better.
No.
And so you spend a little bit, you combine it up, throw it in the back of a truck and haul it off to a farmer and give him cattle food. Just do a purpose and you're not hurting anything.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so much for the laziness of the newfound government. And I don't think their budget has went down because they quit raking it up and combining it out.
No.
I doubt if they've dropped their budget. If anything, I think they're increasing their budget because the spray is so expensive. Well, then quit spraying.
Yeah. Right.
See what happens for a year if you don't do it, or 2 years.
They put a ban on spraying freshwater lakes and stuff this past year, 2019.
Really?
Yeah, they didn't spray it off. They just started spraying again in some of them. But the lakes I fish up in Osceola and Indian River County, they didn't spray any. They just started spraying again. But what doesn't make sense is they'll go in and they'll spray the native vegetation and they'll leave the non-native vegetation growing, and they'll sit there and they'll spray bulrushes and things like that are buggy whips are supposed to be there.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't get any of it. So there's a reason I'm not city councilman or governor or president or anything like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but I think if you and I were in charge for just a... Yeah.
Oh, no, I would have to be emperor.
Well...
Because all these stupid squabbling and saying the exact same thing 10 different ways every time they talk...
You're out.
I would be like...
Off
bring
of
me back the guillotine.
Off of his head.
I'd only have to do one or two, and I believe they would shape up. So... El Jameen Pier.
Same thing going on there with some nice big black drum. And then there's been a few few small mangrove snapper. A couple guys actually caught some trout this week over there.
A lot of people fishing El Jameen.
Yeah.
I noticed quite a few on the pier and quite a few boats up underneath.
Yeah, juvenile tarpon have been underneath along with a few jacks and a lot of small snook.
Ladyfish, silver trout.
I haven't heard of any silver trout. You've been hearing about the silver trout?
Well, I'm kind of wondering because I see the guys. I see the guys that are fishing there, and they look like they're fishing on the bottom for stuff.
Right.
But that's because they're saltwater fishing.
Well, he's a steel leader, red bead.
Steel leader, red bead, big sinker, fish on the bottom. They're saltwater fishing.
Well, there's saltwater fish that like that. They all have whiskers.
Yeah, here, kitty. Why am I catching all these catfish? Gee, what do you think?
Right.
Squid on the bottom, tourist rig.
Perfect.
Perfect.
You guys are bad. And the weirdest part about it is I don't blame people for doing that because that has been the perception of it for so long.
Yeah,
and they're not our, you know, unfortunately, sad to say, they're not all our customers. And even when they are our customers, if they don't ask us or they don't, you know, say, hey, can you show me how to build a rig or what can I do here, what can I do there? And some people just want to tie a snap onto the end of the line, clip something on, clip something off.
Absolutely.
So, you can catch fish that way. It's not always what you want, but you can catch fish that way. Mackinac River area.
There's been some tarpon throughout from the Eldra Bean all the way down to the mouth. They've been inconsistent, but they have been there, so be vigilant, watch for them. And then over towards the north end of the Mayaca cutoff, I've had a couple guys get into a couple small snook, a couple bigger snook, and a handful of redfish. There has been some little glass minnow or whatever small fish fry out there closer to like marker 8. You know, the guys are seeing some birds on them, but nothing really feeding on them, but at least some life.
All right. South Cove Cove.
Mayan cichlids, tilapia, and there's been some juvenile tarpon cooperating up in there from what a couple guys have said. One guy hooked a big snook over there. He's throwing a tilapia back out on his bobber.
Mm-hmm.
But he was fishing for tilapia and cichlids mostly, but he always tries to throw his one pole out, he said. So he didn't land it, but he got to at least see it come up, do a head shake.
Tilapia is a great bait.
Absolutely.
All right, the west wall?
Mostly snook and redfish on the southern part of it, but there's also been a handful of juvenile tarpon on the inside of the trough with some adult tarpon on the outside, mainly from that, whatever that channel marker or tide marker is that's halfway down the wall, all the way down to the point itself.
What about the ladyfish there?
They've been there off and on, but I haven't heard much because of the way the wind's been blowing. You guys haven't been seeing
many. It's rough, and it's really a pain in the butt to fish there when it's howling out of the west.
Yeah.
All right, Cape Hayes. What's going on at Cape Hayes?
Honestly, you didn't get anything at Cape Hayes this week at all. You got anything there?
Nothing there. Just a little further around on Turtle Bay, but...
All right.
Well, we're going there now.
There you go.
Redfish.
And or Turtle Bay.
Redfish, Turtle Bay, definitely. Some snook. These are snook that are coming in from the Gulf areas and offshore reefs.
Now, is the redfish better than bull or turtle?
I would say both, because Bull Bay, especially in the area where it transitions into Widdens Creek, has been really good. You know, there's a lot of bait out on the beach too, and you know, so you're not chasing bait, but you can catch those redfish on crabs. You can catch them on cut ladyfish, live pinfish if you can keep them alive. With the salt water returning and the fresh water receding, things are staying alive a lot better.
Yeah, I've had a lot of guys catching them on cut bait, and they're catching a lot of the snook back in there on the cut bait. Also cut mullet and cut ladyfish.
And don't be surprised if you catch snook of all sizes on a piece of ladyfish or a piece of mullet. If you want a real big snook, put the mullet head on there and cut it off right at the gills.
Right.
And it helps if you mash it a little bit, but that's an old school trick.
Very.
Yeah. Put the hook in, hit it with a hammer a few times, let it sit for about an hour and a half in the sun while the sun's going down, zinging out there. But no, you need a perfect little white bait.
You should have seen them when my uncle used to have the fish house on Alligator Creek, and they were shucking their mullet out of the gill nets during run season.
Oh, yeah.
And one of those big old run mullet that was like 4 pounds, 3.5, 4 pounds, one of those would fall over and it would just be pow, gone.
It's staggering how big those snook were and are. The reason most people don't see them is they fish with white bait, and you can catch monster snook on white bait, but you have to get through the smaller ones.
That's right.
Because the younger ones are more aggressive, more active, and they're going to run faster. And you have to luck into a big one. And if you throw some out there, that little one just can't get in his mouth, you're going to get bigger fish.
Where have you heard that principle applied, brother?
A lot of different places.
All right, Cape Hayes or Danger Reef?
Cape Hayes has actually had some one legal gag on it that I heard about. Uh-huh. But a couple guys have been getting some pompano off of it. Other than that, I haven't heard much else.
Danger Reef, you know, people see the little cobias there, and sometimes they'll catch them, but I don't mess with them. I've seen them there in the last 2 weeks. I just, there's no sense in throwing at a 25-inch cobia.
It's actually where I caught my very first cobia. It was off of there. It was a legal size one back then.
I've had some great days there. We caught them there almost 50 pounds, but that was before it was Danger Reef.
Well, that's back when there was a shrimp boat there. And the reason it got its name Danger Reef is just because I didn't know if it was a shrimp boat or a tugboat. I didn't know what kind of wreck it was, and I couldn't say the wreck. And all that kept flashing in my head was a sign that said Danger Reef. So that's how it got to be Danger Reef, because I was the only one talking to newspapers and magazines back then.
There you go.
So, yeah, I was completely oblivious as to what the real name for a lot of places were. I didn't know what McCoy Flats was, so I named it the West Wall, because there was no internet to find this stuff out, and a lot of locals wouldn't talk to me because I was telling these damn Yankees where to go find fish.
Dang.
And that was fighting words for them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I didn't get along exceptionally well with a lot of locals back then.
That's all right.
Well, I didn't mind. It kept up my... I was a proud follower of Jim Mace back then. So, Jim Mace. All right, Gaspro Sound? He was a very old school prize fighter, by the way.
I know the name, I just couldn't figure out who was
a prize fighter. Yeah.
Okay.
We're talking like 1800s.
Okay.
Yes, I'm old.
Long before Muhammad.
You got Gasparilla Sound?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay.
It's your backyard, man.
Yeah,
you got more up-to-date stuff than I do.
The island's going out to Gasparilla Pass on the back side of those islands, where it drops off and makes a trough. There's some nice redfish in there right now. There should be speckled trout all over that area, but there's not a lot of trout there still. We still need to leave them closed for a while, I think.
Yeah, trout should not have been, that should have been closed about 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the whole redfish closure is stupid, and the snook thing is idiotic.
There's some pompano up near the Miserable Mile in Gasparilla Sound. Try the west side of the channel and along the flats there, and when you're easing along, drifting, or running a trolling motor, not your outboard, you know, they will jump and skip out on their side like a little rock on the water. And when you see that, when you're trolling or something, just put your power pole down or just stop and start casting for them. Silly little jigs.
Casting the
silly jigs, you know.
Now, do you like the ones with the teaser or without the teaser?
I take the teaser off of them and actually run about 18 inches of 15-pound mono behind the regular jig, and then I put that teaser back there.
So you actually take the teaser off and use it as a trailer?
Absolutely. And catch, a lot of times we catch two at a time.
And Robert, he just doesn't like teaser at all, and I have the teaser on my jig.
Right.
So I usually with the teaser on the jig. Robert doesn't want it on there, and you put it on as a trailer. Here's another prime example of three ways to catch fish. All three work, but they darn sure ain't alike.
Nope, completely different.
But it just goes to show you, you have to experiment. When you come down here to Florida, you go out to Gasparilla Sound, and there's pompano there. Run it with the teaser on. If you're not getting hit, take the teaser off. Try it casting it again, and see if they'll hit it that way. If they don't, take a piece of line, go off it, put it on as a teaser. So you're going to tie from the split ring on the front, go back about 20-24 inches, and tie on the teaser on back there with 15-20-pound test. The reason I say 20-24 inches, by the time you tie the knot, you're going to end up somewhere in that 15-18-inch range. So you always got to make your cut longer than what you want it, because you have to tie a knot in it. So anyway, but don't give up on a lure and say, well, this doesn't work. Try it one way, then try it the other. A little faster, a little slower. Put the teaser on, teaser off. Teaser is a trailer. Okay. What else is going on over there?
Well, I think also just one more point on the silly jig. People are scared of using the right size jig. Don't be scared of it because it's a little bit bigger jig. That heavy weight keeps it on the bottom, and when it hits the bottom, when it flips that sand...
So you're using a 3/8 half ounce?
Yeah. When it hits the sand on the bottom and it the jig comes down, that heavier jig hits it, it puffs the sand up, and that attracts a pompano.
Yeah, a lot of people make the mistake, they're going to swim it always through the water, keep swimming and jigging it, and a lot of times what's going to get them interested is it banging head first into the sand.
Hitting sand, puffing it up.
The heavier the jig is, the more it slams into the sand on the way down. So using a light 8th-inch, 16th-ounce, that's a nice finesse bait for maybe a trout or something like that. But for pompano, you want to make a lot of thump as it hits the bottom. Drop that rod tip, let her fall.
And that's my secret weapon for ladyfish. If you're catching ladyfish for bait or just for pure fun, the one with the trailer on it, pink and white, is money. The smaller one.
Yeah.
They stay hooked on it a little bit better, too.
I agree with that.
Well, I still use the BMC hot skirts because they actually come off easier, and it's the best way to keep them alive because you do like you hate where people just swing them over the boat and they hit in the boat and you just put them in the live well or swing them over and drop them in the live well.
So live well's open on my boat when I'm doing that, and they go water, live well.
Yeah, but I'm just saying with the hot skirts, it really has... I think you'd probably catch more and keep more on the hook with what you're doing, but for some reason with that hot skirt, I've just had so many live beyond any other lure I've ever done. Mm-hmm. Don't know why. And it could be just me and Carl and a few other guys have been finding this, that something weird about that hot skirt, it the highest survivability of any little jig we've used. Didn't say it was the best catching, it just said it's the highest survival rate. Little Gaspro Pass. Placida Pier, Trestle.
The Trestle.
Coral Creek Pier.
Trestle itself and the Coral Creek Pier have had a lot of snook on it at night. And then I've also been getting a handful of reports of some mangrove snapper along it. But a guy was showing me pictures yesterday. He caught 10 little lane snapper, like 8 to 10 inches. And he was fishing on his boat on the old broken down pier. But it was pretty cool to see those lanes,
a lot more lanes are inshore. Yeah, they're really pretty when they're smaller. Little Pass still has good snapper in it, not the amount that was there in August, but there's still a few holdovers that are actually in there still doing their little spawn thing in there that they do every year. You can catch those on a shrimp, a little piece of little tiny pinfish, small white bait or something like that, 1 ounce egg sinker. In a 1/0 circle hook, just bounce it right on the bottom, and they'll hook right up. You'll get a bite every time you touch bottom with it.
Yeah, and those docks over there on the north end
snook
of the island.
On the docks and mangroves.
Lots of snook.
And they're not getting pounded like they normally would get right now because of the weather.
Yeah, no, it makes it very nice when it's like that. Because they do get a lot of pressure there at times.
Okay, Lemon Bay?
I have not been in Lemon Bay. I talked to Van, and he said that he was catching a few pompano and some mackerel and things like that, but he really hasn't been fishing it in earnest yet. It's just a little too hot for him.
Been a lot of snook moving in off the beach with all this wind that kind of pushed them in through the pass, so
they don't like
inside
that rough
of stump pass
surf
has been really good along the backside on the ICW for snook.
That rough surf will run them off of there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of little reefs out there that they go on to offshore of stump pass as well. And when it gets rough out there, they do not like it, and they don't like the murky water. They will get in out of it.
Yeah, it's kind of funny how they'll do that.
I think if I was out there and you get that wave action, it makes it hard to sit still, and the waves start picking them up, moving them around, and
there were some 4 to 6 foot swells out there last week. I mean, it was ugly.
And even if you're a fish, you get tossed up on the beach, it's not as good a thing.
No.
A little tricky. Makes breathing a little more difficult.
Yeah. So, Anger Pier, Tom Adams Bridge?
Snook and juvenile tarpon at night. Been a lot of guys talking about that. And then during the daytime, they've been catching a couple of bonnethead sharks. I heard of one black tip. And then there's been some pretty good-sized ladyfish and a handful of mangrove snapper. Wouldn't say that it's stellar, but it's definitely picked up this week on some feedback back there. bonnet heads are always cool because you go in little spurts, or this time of year you won't hear about them for weeks. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden several guys come in, I finally caught a couple, or I finally saw a few. And
yeah, the guy come in, he was going to buy a rod and reel, and I'm like, I hate to do this to you, but I think you're buying the wrong stuff.
Yeah.
And he was getting a conventional, and all he wanted was for like smaller sharks under 5 foot, you know, 5 foot and less. And I said, man, you know, what you're getting is a good rod and reel setup, but the reel was quite a bit more money than what I wanted to sell him, and the rod was about the same, give or take on the rod. Actually, he was getting a Bill Fisher conventional. I sold him Bill Fisher spinning. And I said, man, I can give you a live liner, you know, 6,000 live liner. It's going to handle easily a 5 foot shark. I said, anything under that, but now you can throw it, you can use it to do all kinds of different stuff. Cobia, you know, big snook back in, you know, under docks. You know, you've just got a much more versatile outfit. I said, but when you get in that conventional, yeah, I can throw a conventional, but I'm not throwing a conventional because I need 6 ounce sinker to actually carry that 60 pound test out there,
right.
You know?
Exactly.
So I'm not going to throw that up underneath the dock, free lining a bait or something.
No.
So I said, if you get this spinning setup, I think you're going to be a little happier. If you don't, I'll swap it out. But he was in today telling me he'd been out catching the sharks, and it was exactly what he didn't really wanted, you know?
Yeah.
It was really nice for him to come back and tell me I got it right, and yeah, that was what he really wanted. He just didn't know that with some of the modern things we can do with these reels nowadays, that it's possible.
Yeah.
You know, because he's probably not quite as old as I am, but, you know, he's used to, he'd been out of fishing for a while, and didn't really understand what new reels are possible of doing.
Yeah. Yeah, with all the new drags and it's amazing how many people don't know about a live liner or a bait runner or a dual drag reel, whatever you want to call it.
Fishing all their life, going to tackle shops all their life, and nobody ever bothered to explain to them this is the best second reel you can ever have.
Yeah.
I mean, it shouldn't be your first reel, but if you're already holding one that you need to hold all the time, why would you buy another one you gotta hold?
That's why you don't go looking for tackle in a big box store. You go someplace where you get professional advice.
Or a loudmouth, arrogant, egotistical idiot like me who just got to stick his nose into their business and go, well, try this. I think you're going to like it. Okay. Venice jetties.
That's one of those.
I keep going, guys, I'm sorry. I'm going to stick my nose in.
That's one of the thistles in the bulrush.
Yeah, that's me. I'm the thistle in the bulrush. That's right where it is.
Oh, jeez. Oh, the Venice jetties.
I think most people are just really happy when somebody comes in and wants to buy something. Oh, you want to buy that? Oh, good. Give me your money.
Right.
Yeah, we'll sell you that if you want it. That bad.
I'm more willing to take a risk on upsetting somebody, hoping to talk about stuff to get them more into, you know, maybe something they don't know about. You know,
oh, absolutely.
Finding something new and rather take the risk on upsetting them than just to grab their cash and go.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like I'm
not in a dash for the cash.
Well, and I'm pretty good because I had a very good teacher. But you know, you even refresh
me. Yes, he's the best there is.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Egotistical, humble pie. You refreshed me about that with that woman a couple weeks ago that had her one rod. And she wanted another rod, but it was the exact same rod, and I was trying to help her with different rods, and you helped refresh. And why do you want the exact same rod but shorter? Why are you doing that? You know, and I was just trying to follow her lead, but
which is what you should do. But it always depends on the circumstance.
But you had a better way of explaining it, and I just forgot how to do it, and it was just amazing because now she had two similar rods but completely different
ones that were really good at doing this, another one that's really good at doing that.
Yes.
And that's what I like to do with people. I always want, and I'm not a big golfer. In fact, I don't like to golf. You know, I understand that other people do, but it's just not my thing. But if you gotta, as a fisherman, think that way, you don't go on the thing with a whole bag of seven irons. Mm-hmm. Now, if I was going to go golfing, I'd take 4 7-irons because I'm probably going to bend the first three. But, you know, around the tree, around the guy's head, you know. But, you know, most people want a putter and a driver and an iron and wood and all this other kind of stuff to the right club for the right shot. And the same thing with fishing, the right rod and reel for the right cast.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Venice Sharkies, I'll shut up.
Sharkies is doing really good on some big snook at night. There's a lot of dark water coming through there, but those flare hawk bucktail jigs are just working unbelievably well up there.
It's that time of year.
And if you move to the outside edge where that dark water hits some of the cleaner water along the beach, pompano, a few ladyfish, an occasional jack, some smaller snook. And then Sharkies, honestly, I haven't heard anything on the Sharkies.
What color would you recommend for that flare hair jig?
Those guys are all over the map on it, but the blue and white one seems to be the really popular one up there. You know, me personally, I'd stick with the traditional, either the white with the red or the white with the green.
Yep.
You know, that's just kind of my...
And the appropriate worm on it. I like running the worm.
That's what I've been taught, you know, so I'd stick with that.
Back in the day, it was a boom worm that we put on it. It was a red boom worm or a white one.
Yeah.
And they...
I forgot that Boone made that stuff.
Yeah, uh-huh. Boone was big with all that.
I forgot about that. That's funny.
Mm-hmm. And the Boone pencil, the poppers, and Boone just had a ton of great lures back in the day.
Yeah.
But I couldn't figure out which ones of the jigs were doing the best. So when they came in, the flare hawk, whatever, mm-hmm. I said, how many sizes and colors do you want? I said, never mind, I don't care. Give me all of them.
There you go. Let them figure it out for themselves.
Well, they're buying all of them in different sizes, different color patterns. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter.
I bought the little ones. I bought the big ones. I bought every color pattern, every size, everything they had. And that way, I don't have to figure it out. I just get, you know, because this guy comes in, he wants this one with this color tail, this with this. I'm like, you know what? I got the space. Give me them all. I'll take every one you have. If you make it, bring it in, put it up. So, all right, here's where I'm going to be prepared to type. Gulf of Mexico.
Honestly, this is going to be about Mars because the weather was so crappy the past week.
Yeah, still don't have any reports.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's going to be about a week and a half old, but I took a client from New Jersey out there, and we did real well. I do have to mention, though, that about 9-10 days ago, there was a lot of brown water there that was coming up from the south. A southerly current was flowing. All that is a back current caused from the loop current flowing to the south. You know, so loop current is flowing to the south, but then you have this backup current that comes from the shoreline and pushes stuff to the north. And it had...
It's almost like a little eddy.
It is. And it's a dark brown water there. The water coming out of Boca was brown, but it got clear brown, and then it got dark brown about 10 to 15 miles off. And right about 19 miles out, 85 feet of water, there was a really sharp dark brown water line that turned to nice medium dark blue. And there was sargasso weed, flying fish, sardines, everything on it. We stopped and caught, you know, Spanish sardines and cigar minnows and blue runners off of that. We had some white bait and Spanish sardines that we caught on the beach. And I put the bigger Spanish sardines out. Well, I put a Spanish sardine and a blue runner out, and we started slow trolling down this weed line. And we wound up catching 33 dolphin off of that weed line. The biggest one was probably 6 pounds, 7 pounds. But we also had a sailfish on for about 4 or 5 jumps before my client cut the spool and tried to slow him down on his first run.
That's a good idea.
That doesn't work, ladies and gentlemen.
No.
Just let your drag do the work and keep your hand off the spool.
Not with a sailfish, especially.
No, this fish is 60, 70 mile an hour, and he's jumping across the water, carrying 10, 15 yards a jump, and you stick your hand on the spool, it immediately breaks. Yeah, we had the 50-pound braid on the bigger spinning rod, but you know, it's still no match. It breaks instantly.
Yeah.
But braid is monofilament.
It's much more forgiving.
Between the fish and the reel, way better than braid.
Yes.
It does not cast as well as braid. It's a bit thicker, but it is stronger. It is more forgiving. Yes, monofilament is stronger than braid. I guarantee it, braid will never hold up the way mono does. Monofilament's too easy to break. It pops because there's no stretch. There's no forgiveness.
Braid line. You put, braid line.
Yeah, braided line. Yeah. Sorry, I don't know what I'm saying sometimes, but I get passionate.
Yep. So,
but without any stretch or anything, as soon as you hit that line, the fish jerks his head this way, you pull back, you've exceeded it, popped. You snapped it. Where a mono, it stretches a little bit, it comes back. It's really hard to break mono with the same pin test.
Yeah, exactly.
But we, on the same trip, we kept 15 mahi. That was plenty. That was more than enough, five apiece. And so we said, let's, after the sailfish, we trolled a little bit more and tried to get a sailfish bite or a king mackerel or something. We didn't. And I said, you know, I've got a little grouper snapper spot that's about a quarter of a mile from here. So, again, we're still in 85 feet of water. We stopped there, and the rods doubled over really heavy, and we caught a limit of nice red grouper and a couple of five-pound class mangroves and a whole bunch of nice lanes. And, you know, we were done with our trip right then. You know, came back in very happy.
Yeah, I saw that one. Yeah. That was in what, 80 feet or whatever?
85 feet, yeah. You know, just on the other side of the brown-blue line. I'm sure that's kind of filtered out now. It's not as sharp as it was then, but, you know, this is a time of year where you don't have to run out to 100, 120, 130 feet to do good. You just need to pay attention and look around a little bit. Stay off of the spots that you fish every time you go out and look for some different ones.
Looking for that color change is key also.
It is, because there's also a really sharp thermocline inside of that, you know, 70 feet, 65 feet, 60 feet.
Mm-hmm.
When you get out in the blue water, it's less.
All right, Boker and Pass?
Well, there's a lot of tarpon in there that I've heard
still
from a few
tarpon,
people.
Yeah.
And then there's also been some snook, some big bull reds, a few Spanish mackerel. And the mangrove snapper bite started to pick back up just a little bit at 30 to 35 feet of water on that southern kind of edge.
Yeah,
of the
get
pass
out there just to the south of the first red marker. There's mm-hmm. those ledges in there have a lot of mangroves on them. And the old oil docks have a lot of mangrove snappers there too. You just need to use something a little heavier. If you use too light a tackle, you wind up feeding the...
What do they build there, condos?
Yeah, that's a place called Hilltide Estates. It's all high-end houses.
Is it a railroad company building there, or is it somebody else?
No, it's a different thing. Right, CSX is out of that.
If CSX was doing it, it's going to be the ugliest square boxes on the planet.
You mean like the condos there now at Boca Bay?
Yeah, I'm like, why would somebody pay $2 million to live in the ugliest?
Well, the front of those look very nice, and it's like landscaped, and it looks world class when you look from the front. When you look from the water, it looks like Beirut or something.
It looks like a swallow house from up north, you know,
yeah.
Put out in the middle of the
field. You can see something like that in Palestine or something.
Yeah,
it's like.
So, Captiva Pass.
Captiva Pass has got some snook in it. A couple guys got a couple gag grouper out of there the other mm-hmm. day. And then there's been a couple of small sharks, like bull sharks, a couple lemon sharks, one black tip, and there's been a few incidental tarpon on the inside there. Guys didn't hook them, but they were watching them roll and swim past, so got to go with that because it's a first decent report of tarpon.
Any reports on redfish bass, Morris?
I haven't been down that far.
17th Street?
Nothing. Why are those, do you know why those roads are closed down out there?
I do know that I went to all of my favorite little juvenile tarpon spots out there and Rotunda and all that, and they are now totally fenced and
Rotunda bought all of those lakes out there and blocked it all in.
The canals, they have ended that. It's all no trespassing. Prosecutors, you know, trespassers will be prosecuted, and you know.
Why were they so against people fishing there?
Yeah, I don't know. I used to go there and catch a couple, you know, juvie tarpon, and just for grins and giggles. And
sure. Yeah. I never put it on the website, you know, the places over there, because it's always been so sketchy with the, you know, people in Rotunda. They've got a big opinion of themselves there.
They're a little bigger than PGI, actually.
Oh yeah, but I'm saying, you know, their impression of themselves is getting even bigger.
Mm-hmm.
But PGI did it, kicked everybody out. You know, you have to have written permission and this kind of thing and all that. And
I like it that they banned you from throwing a cast net in there from your own boat and floating in the water.
In PGI?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, anywhere in PGI.
Yeah, but that's open water that's connected to the intercoastal waterway. And
yeah.
Yeah.
When you have people who live in a high-end area, they tend to have friends in the government.
These are all previously important people.
Yeah, so if you've got friends in the government or a bit of money that you can share with somebody in the government.
Absolutely.
You wouldn't say bribe or pay somebody, but
no.
Share might be a possibility.
Yeah.
All right.
Contribution.
Middle Beach. Yes. Middle Beach.
There was some good snook on it, but honestly, I haven't had a report because of the way the wind's been blowing right there.
I bet you they've moved up around Sharkies and stuff and heading into the jetties or heading in Stump Pass at this point.
Yeah.
Ponarasa?
Nothing.
No.
Sanibel?
The causeway's got some tarpon on it at night and some snook. Customer is out there fishing underneath it, but he said his buddy's been doing okay down there at night. Not great numbers, but he's at least hooking a few fish. For some reason, he likes to sit underneath the bridge over there and he just loves to fish, doesn't care what he catches. He's like 68, something like that. He comes in here a couple times a month.
It's got to be good fishing under the bridge, right?
He just enjoys fishing. He doesn't catch a lot, he tells me, but he just likes being there. There's something about that spot. He's willing to drive the hour and 20 minutes down to there and just really, truly enjoys hanging out down there.
Yeah, it's one of those... my dad, he could fish in the flats in front of Pirate Harbor, he could go there every day for the rest of his life.
Absolutely.
He quarter mile north, quarter mile south, that's it, right there. He would never have to go anyplace else the rest of his life. That's where he loves to fish.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So, Matt Lachey.
Matt Lachey, I haven't got anything from Matt Lachey except for right below there, the Indian Fields.
Indian Fields should be good.
Or above there.
Is it above there?
Yeah.
I always screw that up.
Yeah, it's north of it.
But the Indian Fields have got quite a few redfish of assorted sizes and been some juvenile tarpon.
And usually when that fish is good, the Smokehouse Bay area is usually pretty fair, too.
Yeah. Yeah, Carl fished a tournament today, and he went there yesterday to Smokehouse Bay, and he said it was pretty quiet. But earlier this week, there was a guy down there fishing, and he did real good on snook and some smaller redfish with one oversized. But Carl did just text me they took sixth place, which is pretty cool.
In the local tournament?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
He just texted a simple sixth, and he was kind of panicking because he was having a rough day out there yesterday trying
to
find some fish.
Have you heard from Austin? Has he done anything with it?
No, he hasn't texted me yet.
Pine Island Sound.
Oh, geez. A lot of snook, quite a few redfish. I mean, just scattered all along, especially down there by, Captiva Rocks.
Mm-hmm. Inside Blind Pass, where the power lines go across over there on the eastern side.
Mm-hmm.
Those big flats in that area, another place I don't really know the name of, but I've fished it a gazillion times. That place has got redfish, and there's a few scattered trout on it, but it's got a lot of redfish on it. So that would be probably got hit hard during this tournament, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard the water's been kind of milky because of that wind blowing through there, but some guys are saying there's certain spots where they can see pretty good, and then they move a little bit, and it's nothing but milk.
So in the milky, if you're trying to produce a redfish in there, would you use something like a gulp or something like that if you're having to fish a lure?
Yeah.
Something that has a lot of scent in it?
Yeah, I'd be definitely using something with some smell on it.
Because you probably can't fish a cut ladyfish in the tournament, right?
They could.
They can?
Yeah.
Okay. They can use bait.
Today was a natural bait day.
Oh, okay. Well, cut ladyfish is probably even better than gulp, but you can cast the gulp better and move it along a little bit. You can hop it and let it sit still for a little bit and do its thing. And especially
why you wouldn't do both. because you can put the gulp or the fish bites on the hook first, then put the crab on, and when the crab's defuncting, you've still got the gulp.
Yeah, you got something in the store too that I think really highly of, and it works tremendous for us as far as out in the Gulf and in the Bahamas when we're bone fishing. That's the fish bite shrimps.
Oh yeah,
those shrimps really work.
Yeah, no, I
if
I
a,
get
it. If it
they're
catches
made
a,
here in
a
Florida,
bonefish
for Florida, they're made in Florida by people from Florida for Florida fishing. And the weird part about it is Florida doesn't buy much of them. But you go up to New England, it's up along the East Coast, the U.S., they outsell everybody.
Catching togs and blackfish and all kinds of stuff.
They catch all kinds of stuff. But for some reason in Florida, where they're made, it just didn't catch on very
That's another bait that you can use under the bridges and stuff for those drum.
Yeah.
They Jug Creek Shoals, Poculia.
The pier. The Boquilio Pier. Guys are catching some snook off of there. They caught a couple of redfish off of there, one small black tip, and a bonnethead.
Yeah. The water's cleaning up there a little bit too right now. Not perfect yet, but it's getting there. Some good tide sweeping in and out.
All right, burnt store, two pins.
A lot of snook up along the bushes. Handful of redfish. There was a bunch of redfish there, but boy, they beat the snot out of those, and then the wind changed directions and really killed it.
Yeah.
And plus, I think what they killed probably about 5 million white bait over there for those 5 days while they were chumming up those redfish.
Yeah.
Jeez.
All those boats surrounded them, and yeah, I saw the pictures and heard the reports, and yeah.
But the size of that bait they were throwing, it's like, were these guys using seine nets to catch some of that white bait to chum with? It's like, terrifying.
Okay. Yeah. Let's do genocide on our bait before it ever gets big enough to use.
Yeah.
Okay. East side of the harbor. Pirate Harbor North.
Pirate Harbor's got a bunch of juvenile tarpon in it. And then there's been a few juvenile tarpon just to the north of it on the inside of the bar. And then there's been a hodgepodge of snook and redfish with a few jacks. And then a few bigger tarpon on the outside of the bar. You know, just kind of a good mix mash over there. And the water is a little bit cleaner than the west wall over there just because of the natural current flow coming in through Boca Grande. I don't know if you've been hearing of anything else enticing over there, but
just the redfish and the snook in there. And, you know, big jacks. I've heard of some 10, 12-pound jacks being caught, so.
Yeah.
Another good place to look for them is right on the outside of that bar where you would catch the pompanos, that sandbar that runs all the way down the east wall.
Yeah, the weird part is for as many hodgepodge little pockets of pompano I've been hearing about, I have not heard of any pompano over there this past 2 weeks.
And in November, you can go in there and
see,
you'll find them. They'll be all about it then.
Right.
All right, taking us up to Alligator Creek.
Honestly, it's been very, very slow inside Alligator Creek. The only thing I've gotten reports on is some black drum up inside the burnt store meadows and burnt store aisles.
Yeah, way up past the locks.
Yeah.
Okay, it takes us over to Ponce de Leon.
Black drum, some mangrove snapper, a couple of redfish, a few snook, but they've been kind of quiet. And then, of course, the jacks coming through. There was some juvenile tarpon out front just to the north of it, up kind of by the Peace River Wildlife Refuge.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't heard about those in, let's see, that was either Sunday or Monday when the guy came through telling me about those.
Okay, PGI Canals.
Big black drum. There's been some studly black drums. I mean,
big black drums and jacks.
30 to 50 pound black drum, and then, yeah, the jacks. There's been a handful of snook up inside there, but it's mainly been a black drum and jacks.
You get your arms extended if you hook a few of those up.
Now, there's been tarpon in there, but they've been very, very scattered and very small numbers.
All right, Gilchrist Pier?
Nothing.
No.
There was a sailboat that got wedged up against it last week and wrecked part of the decking.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, it pulled anchor and slid over there and literally was wedged between the seawall and the pier. It was pretty interesting.
All right, Alligator Creek Reef.
And got nothing.
Yeah, I haven't been around there.
Okay, the deep holes in Harbor. We're almost done, Morris.
Tarpon. Been tarpon scattered throughout all the holes out there. Even though it's been lumpy, a few guys have been going out there definitely trying like heck, and a couple of them been fairly successful.
Okay, freshwater.
Peacock bass. They're,
what about locally?
Locally, there are actually a handful of peacocks available locally that people have brought to some of the local canals and put them in. And we haven't had a really hard freeze, so they've actually held over for a year or so. But as soon as we have a freeze, it'll kill them all. So that's why I never stock my lake with them, because you know, as soon as it gets cold, they're going to die. And I don't want to do that. So, you know, the Mayan cichlids, you know, they're readily available, and they stay in there. But largemouth bass right now, we had a lot of fresh water. And a lot of fresh water runoff from rain and things like that. And Shell Creek, fishing good. Excuse me. Swim baits, big easies, you know, and the skinny dippers and things like that. You can fish those swim baits through the grass. Those will work. Top water will work early and late. You know, Cecil Webb, there's been some really nice bass caught out of Cecil Webb recently. Webb Lake fishes really well this time of year. Great top water. I would recommend a spinnerbait and chartreuse and white in there. Zip and Ziggy top water bait by owner. That's, you can find that here at Fish and Frank's. That's a deadly lure about anywhere you fish it. That's money in Webb Lake.
I was trying to tell a guy, he was talking about, and he wanted it, some spooks, and I said, yeah, well, the spook is good, but I said, I think you're going past a lot of fish you could be catching.
Mm-hmm.
I said, especially for bass fishing, you want to go to the Zip and Ziggy, and then try the Skitterwalk. The Skitterwalk is just outperforms the spook, hands down, mm-hmm. just 10 times more effective. And I was a big fan of the spook, but man, what you can do with a Skitter V is just unbelievable, the way it works and everything. But he ended up, I told him, for right now, just buy the Zip and Ziggy, because that's a must have top water for freshwater.
It's not a joke, it's yeah. for real.
You don't, you know, you can talk about, you should have this or you should have that. You must have a Zip and Ziggy if you're top water fishing in freshwater. That's just, in my opinion, that's a must.
I've caught everything from rainbow trout to peacock bass in the freshwater and largemouth, you know, everything you can imagine on the Zip and Ziggy. And in the saltwater, I've caught just about every species we fish for with it.
Yeah, I'm, you know, there is just so many possibilities that you can do. Okay, and now we have the tarpon map, okay? Which, we do the tarpon map. Red dots means that's the best tarpon fishing. So, Robert, call out your first red dots.
The 20-foot hole going over towards the west wall.
More of a square area there?
Yeah.
Okay. Morris, your red dots.
Look at Boca Grande Pass, especially on the incoming tides. Okay. This time of year, think about using a pinfish or a thread herring or something like that.
Now, in the pass itself, or should I do anything like into the intercoastal?
Look in the pass. Look in the holes.
Okay, in the pass and the holes. Okay. Robert, you got any more red dots?
No.
All right. Yellow dots mean 50-50.
Captiva Pass, working your way up the intercoastal towards Boca Grande Pass.
Okay. Captiva, we're not past the... Gotcha.
Inside Cayo Costa, intercoastal.
Well, that's what he just said.
Yeah, right inside. I'm giving you a specific area inside, in between the intercoastal and Cayo Costa, that flat there.
Oh, okay, because Robert said, you know, come in through
Captiva and work your way north up to Boca.
Go north. Mm-hmm. Is that what you're talking about?
I'm just talking about that specific area right in behind Cayo Costa.
Okay.
On the east side of Cayo Costa, west side of the intercoastal right
gotcha.
There.
All right. Now, gotcha.
Placida from basically Sandfly out through Gasparilla Pass.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. 50-50.
Use your eyes there, too. That's what matters most.
All right, Morris, you got a 50-50?
50-50 would be outside the west wall. On the outside of the bar.
Yeah, north half or south half?
I would start just about the pole, and you can run all the way up just about to the point in Cape A's bar. But, you know, again, use your sonar and use your eyes.
Harbor Heights.
Yeah, good point.
Nice.
Anywhere else, guys?
How about Navigator?
All right, Robert, any other places?
About it.
Any place for a chance of tarpon or nighttime or anything like that?
Nighttime would be maybe the 41 Bridge, but Sanibel's the only one I had one mediocre report at.
They put no trespassing signs and posted signs all over my... and fences all over the places I would go.
Okay. All right. Let me get that saved. You guys got anything you want to talk about, want to finish up with?
September is a wonderful time of the year to get out and fish. I mean, we still don't have a big crowd out there on the water. The snowbirds aren't here. And if we get any break in this intense heat, it's an awesome time to go out and fish fresh or salt.
Inshore and offshore.
Yeah, it's hard. Offshore, and a lot of people don't realize this happens, but, in my offshore endeavors for billfish, September and October are one of my premium months to catch sailfish and white marlin right off of Boca Grande. And not far out, I'm talking anywhere from 40 to 60 miles. Where folks would normally go and fish for red snapper and grouper. Guess what shows up there every September and October? White marlin and sailfish. And you have wahoo, tuna, and dolphin in there as well. But you got to fish for them. It's hard to catch them on a piece of squid on the bottom with an 8-ounce sinker.
Okay. Now, how are you? You got one hint through it? How you do that?
Some nice rig ballyhoo and put them out and troll them about 6 mile an hour and pay specific attention to current changes, weed lines, and breaks in the current where water color changes from one color to the next.
All right. What's the slowest you would troll for them?
Six mile an hour up with those.
All right. I guess that means the guitar music sounds. There it is in the background. That means we have to go. We're out of here.
Man, that guy can play some smoking guitar.
Yeah. I'm always embarrassed when Boris listens to me play this because he's hearing every tiny little untuned string and everything when he hears it.
I think it's great.
I play bass. Morris plays guitar. He's one of the best guitar players I've ever had the privilege of playing bass next to.
Well, thank you, sir.
This is me playing guitar, and when Morris Kimball is listening to it, always makes me a bit, oh, really? Yeah, I did that. Okay.
You'll never hear that out of my mouth. So.
I know. All right. Robert in the chair across from me, Captain Morris Gamble in the seat over there. And we're out of here, boys and girls. Thanks for listening. We do appreciate you. And have fun in the wide world of fishing. Bye.